Sorry about that, everyone. I was so distracted by it, I didn't have to put any of the stuff that I usually put on this morning. I forgot the microphone. And this is when you forget the microphone in the office. It's one of the days when you regret having such a long walk back and forth between sanctuary and the office. Good morning and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. Oh, it's good that we can gather in the house of the Lord this morning and give thanks to God for all the good things that he has done for us. As we come this morning, a little bit more relaxed this morning, I'm pleased to see that many of you took me at that word as well. Notice I did it too. This is our congregational picnic day. Normally we would meet at pre-pandemic, of course, we would have been at the Lost Villages site for a outdoor worship service, but this week, as we try to at least kind of get a little bit back to normal, we're here, and so we're pleased that we can gather together. Lunch is going to be served in the hall just because of the heat outdoors. They asked me this morning, do we want to be inside or outside? And my response was, look at me. Anybody who has this coloration doesn't go outdoors, you know. I'm like a vampire. I come out of my casket at night to enjoy the dark of the evening. That kind of sealed the fact that I said, don't ask me that question. That's not a question you want to ask me in future. But it's also going to be, I think Humidex is about 36 by the time we're done worship this morning. So the hall may be more comfortable. As we prepare for summer and all of the things that will happen, many of us will become busy and doing other things, and that's kind of par for the course. We do like to encourage people at this time of year, though, to remember your church offerings, and if you want to give those before you go off on your trip this year, that's a wonderful thing, or you can make those up when you return in the fall. As we come this morning in worship, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we walk in his path. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call, and it will appear before you on the screens this morning. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Or who may abide upon your holy hill? Those who lead a blameless life and do what is right, who speak the truth from their hearts, who do not slander with their tongue and do not evil to their friends, nor heap contempt upon their neighbors. Those who do these things will never be overthrown. Praise the Lord. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Sovereign God, ruler of all hearts, you call us to obey you and favor us with true freedom. Keep us faithful to the ways of your Son, that leaving behind all that hinders us, we may fix our eyes upon him and steadfastly follow in the paths of your kingdom. Grant this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Our opening hymn is the hymn, Oh, for a Closer Walk with God. The words to the hymn will appear before you on the screen. Friends, clothed with the mantle of baptism and protected by God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sins to God and to one another as we say together the prayer as it appears before you on the screen. O God, in Jesus Christ you call us to follow, to walk in your ways and seek your truth. Jesus keeps calling, but we keep turning away, finding excuses and giving our hearts to other gods. Still, Jesus calls to us, in spite of our sin. Help us to hear him. Release us from the entanglements that prevent us from following him. Forgive our sins and draw us ever closer. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, and peace given to you through God's grace. I proclaim to you this day that you are forgiven. Let us go, therefore, and live in the word of the Lord and be made new. Amen. As we come today, Jesus sets out on a journey. Jesus does a lot of journeying. But always in all of the Gospels, there are big journeys. Journeys that take Jesus the last half of the Gospel story from wherever he may be to ultimately Jerusalem. It's the end of the journey that is the most important. And along the way this morning, in Luke's Gospel, Jesus is teaching his disciples what it means to be his followers. And so throughout the next several weeks, as we travel this journey that Jesus is embarking upon today, which begins in Luke chapter 9, so as you can tell, there's a fair bit of the gospel that gets taken up by this journey. As Jesus is on this journey with his disciples, he's continually teaching them about what it means to be the followers of Jesus. And so this morning, I invite you to listen. And this morning in particular, I want you to think about what are those things that get in our way from time to time, the things that keep us from being followers of Jesus. As Jesus discusses with his disciples what it means to be followers today. That's what we'll be talking about in this morning's message. Let us pray. Your word, O God, reveals your will for our lives. By the power of your Holy Spirit, give us each the wisdom to attend to your call every day and make us ready to hear and obey. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading is from the Old Testament, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 15 to 16, and then 19 to 21. Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king of Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place." So he set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. The response of Psalm 16, will be found on the screen. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my God, Lord. Have no good apart from you.
As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight.
Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot.
The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage.
I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me.
I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved.
Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure.
For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful ones see the pit.
You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The next reading is from the New Testament, letter of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1. And then 13 to 25. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become enslaved to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. And the final reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for his arrival, but they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Thus endeth the lesson. Thanks be to God for his word to us.
Our hymn will appear before you on the screens. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult. Let us sing to God's glory. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Oops, and I apologize to the guys at the back. I meant to warn them before I did that, because I always sing louder than I talk. Sometimes we seem to just wander through life, don't we? It's like we're out for a Sunday afternoon drive sort of thing. I remember as a kid when Sunday afternoon drives were probably a little bit more popular than they are now, going out on a Sunday afternoon for a drive with my parents. There was no particular destination in mind, no set goal or direction, no time when we would return. We would just seem to point the car out the driveway and follow the engine bonnet as we made our way down the road. My father used to enjoy exploring. Even in a little place like PEI, you could explore. And so often, the guiding principle on these Sunday afternoon drives was simply this. that we would not take a road that we had taken before. It may seem like an impossible task to get lost in a place as small as Prince Edward Island, where you're never more than 50 miles from the ocean. But there were times when, to quote my father, maybe we weren't lost, but we were temporarily misplaced. But then, there are those times when you know precisely where you're going and exactly what time you're going to get there. In our many trips as a family back and forth across the country to visit parents and grandparents on holidays each year, our holiday travel could have been no further away from those idle ramblings of a Sunday afternoon drive. They were planned to the minute. We would arrive at our destination at thus and such a time, and we would have traveled precisely so many hours and so many minutes in that day. Back when the ferry still crossed between Prince Edward Island and the rest of Canada, the being on time was particularly important for that last leg of the journey. You wanted to make sure that you made the boat, because you didn't want to have to wait for the next one. And so there were many rushed trips from that last leg between Moncton and Cape Tormentine, New Brunswick, where you just kind of had to push it because you weren't quite sure you were going to get there in time. Memories of my youth. As we turn to Luke's gospel this morning and what we've just heard read, we have this beginning of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. The gospel writer tells us that this is a journey with an intense purpose. This is not an idle journey. Luke's gospel for reading for this morning began with these words: Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. Gone were the wanderings of the previous 9 chapters of Luke's gospel, where Jesus went from town to town, healing and teaching, accepting the invitation of anyone who would open their doors to him and to his disciples. This trip that begins with the reading today is completely different, and you can sense it. As well, it should be. This is the trip that will transform Jesus from being an itinerant teacher to the Savior of the world. Jesus' whole purpose here on earth is wrapped up in this trip this morning. And along the way, Jesus teaches his disciples about what it means to be his followers. Each gospel has their own version of this trip. But in Luke's gospel, we get the real sense that Jesus is focused. Nothing can get in his way. Nothing will distract Jesus from that ultimate destination, Jerusalem and the cross. As Jesus moves to the culmination of his time here on earth, he seems that he is fixated. And he demands the same of his disciples. There must be a faith without exception. And that is a hard thing, because we are so often distracted by so many things. Reading through this passage this week, it struck me the key word to listen for in today's gospel reading is the simple word, but. It arises 3 times, 4 times, once I didn't count, so 3 times. 3 times you'll hear the word but. Jesus sends his messengers ahead of him into that Samaritan town. And Luke records the report of the disciples as they return to Jesus. They say, But they would, Luke says, but they would not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. But number one. Jesus keeps pressing forward on this journey, however. And we're told that someone from the crowd jumps up and he goes, I will follow you. But first, let me go and bury my father. Another jumps up. I will follow you. But let me first say farewell to the people who are at home. And Jesus responds with the words, no one who puts their hand upon the plow looks back. And looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Jesus makes demands upon his disciples this morning. He demands that they not turn back. Jesus makes demands of us, of a faith without exceptions, that there will be no buts in it at all. We cannot turn back. The question for each follower of Jesus is really a simple one. What are those things that hold us back? What are those things that prevent us from wholeheartedly following Jesus? What are our buts? That village that we mentioned, that village of the Samaritans that would not receive Jesus, of all of the people, and always when the Samaritans show up, they always surprise us, right? Of all of the people in this story, it seems it's the Samaritans that actually get what's going on here. Because if you remember the words that were read, Luke tells us in this passage that when the messengers of Jesus come back to him, they say to him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. The Samaritans seem to grasp the enormity of Jesus' task and his single-mindedness of purpose, and they recognize that the cost of following Jesus was too great for them. They recognized that he was focused on what lay ahead. Maybe they saw in his face the fixed stare in his eyes or the clench of his jaw that said nothing was going to turn him from where he had set out to go. Jesus in this story is a man on a mission, and nothing will deter him, nothing will stand in his way. And that was too great for the people of the Samaritan village to welcome him. For the people in the crowd, on this day anyway, family seems to be their obstacle, doesn't it? Let me go and bury my father. Let me go and say goodbye to those who are at home. They can follow. Then I can follow you. And Jesus' demand is, come and come now. Indeed, that exchange is still one that I have with anyone who comes to see me through, that has come to see me through the years, wondering if they are called into ministry. Question number one is always this. Can you see yourself, I always use Swift Current, Saskatchewan. Can you see yourself as the minister in Swift Current, Saskatchewan? Are you open to leaving family and friends behind so that you can answer the call of God to be a disciple of Jesus and follow him wherever he will lead you. It's a difficult ask, but it is one that we must be able to affirm if we say we are going to be a follower of Jesus, and especially as a minister of word and sacrament. Jesus calls us to follow him wherever he may go, wherever he may lead us, because there is a purpose. Swift Current, Saskatchewan. I'm not even sure the church exists there anymore. Like so many of our churches in Saskatchewan, it may have blown with the dust. But the reality was that it was a wonderful, vibrant congregation at one point who sought people to come and be their minister. And always ministry leads us out of our comfortable, away from our family, away from our friends, away from all of the things that we know, so that we might have to rely on God and God's grace to see us through. This last little while here within our own presbytery, the presbytery of Seaway Glengarry, we've been having similar discussions with congregations in our own midst. We have a great number of congregations which are currently without minister. And the question is, how can we help them to be vibrant communities of faith? How can we claim the heritage of the past, the faith of their ancestors, and make it real for them today? And sometimes that may lead us into uncomfortable places. For some of these congregations of which we're talking, small 2 and 3 point charges, it may mean being a one single point charge where everyone comes together. It may mean shifting and realigning who they are so that they have new friends in Christ with whom they can be engaged in the ministry of the word. But always what is to be guiding us is that one simple thing, that Jesus leads us forward. And he invites us to dare to trust in him. The reality that comes out of this text this morning is simply this. It's not a big secret, I don't think. Following Jesus is not easy. Jesus always invites us to leave behind the familiar and the comfortable. Jesus always asks us to move forward into a place where we do not yet know. A journey just like the journey of Abraham with that great promise of a land that will be given to him one day. But Abraham had to embark out on his journey in faith, not knowing where he would eventually end up. Following Jesus means leaving behind all of those things that our world says is of the highest value. Getting rid of all of our buts along the way so that we might with single-minded purpose follow Jesus. And there is no turning back. The lectionary pairs this story this morning about the beginning of this journey with the story of the call of the prophet Elijah, my favorite biblical prophet. And did you hear the story this morning? What also unites him, of course, is the image of plowing. So, Ken, you'll be really thrilled with that. All the farmers in the world understand the idea of plowing. But in this morning's text, and Elijah does something that most farmers would never do. He gets rid of his plow. Right? To respond to the call of God, Elijah left his plow, cut up his oxen, put the pieces on the wood of the plow, and lit the whole thing on fire. There was no going back for Elijah in this story. The only place forward was to follow God unwaveringly, with no exceptions, with no turning back. For us as Christians, each of us is called to be in this place, called to be a follower of Jesus, to engage in study and service each day. And the most important, but the most difficult part of that is to let go of the other things that place demands in our lives so that Jesus Christ can be the Lord of our life, the center around which everything else revolves. So hear the words today, that we cannot put our hands to the plow and look behind. Now, in real farming terms, or it used to be the case, if you started watching the furrow of the plow, it all of a sudden started getting crooked. You had to keep your focus forward for the furrow to be straight. And likewise with us, for us to live our lives and to follow Jesus in the straight and narrow way, we must look forward. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Sorry, Minna, I pick my own key when I sing like this. Friends in Christ, this is God's message to us today. Let us move forward in faith, seeking to love and serve our God. Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem today to offer himself for the sake of the world. Jesus invites us to be his followers, offering our lives in response to his goodness. Let us now offer our tithes and offerings in praise and thanksgiving as we give our collections to the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, take these gifts for the work of this church. Let them stand as signs of your love and faithfulness in the name of the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, you call us to ventures that cannot be foretold, to paths that we do not know. And through your word and spirit, you promise to guide us in your ways of truth. Hear us as we pray now in Jesus' name for the church, the world, and all those who are in need. Holy God of healing and peace, we thank you for life and health, for morning and evening, for rain and sunshine, and for all you give us to sustain life. But most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who died and rose again to make real the promise of new life that you hold out for us all. We ask, O God, for a church that ministers every day to bring people together in your name, for hearts that will not judge, for minds that recognize injustice and oppression in all of its forms, for hands that are open to answer your calling. Merciful God, the nations that you have called into being are many and full of marvels. We pray for their well-being, for leaders and workers, teachers and soldiers, scholars, artists, parents, and peacemakers, for nations and peoples in strife, especially for the nation of Ukraine, we offer our prayers this day, that your way may be known in all lands, and that joy may reign in all the earth. Turn our hearts, O Holy One, to respect and honor those who are not like us. Let us see in peoples of every nation the majesty of your desire for richness and diversity in our world. We pray for bodies and spirits healed, for those who are in pain, for those who are awaiting surgery, for those who are struggling with physical therapies, and those who await death this day. We pray that you will be with them and that they will know your presence and feel your healing touch. And we ask especially your blessing on the children in our community for their play and work in this summertime to give them strength and renewal, for an ever-increasing opening of their minds to new ways of seeing, new understandings of the gifts that you call them to use, and for their happiness and their health. We give you thanks for the saints, those who have taught us how to listen to your word and how to walk with faithfulness the path that you set before us. Guard and guide them and their witness to us, that we may be faithful in their example. And into your hands we now place our prayers and all those whose welfare we entrust to your care this day. Bless them and all who have needs only you can know. In thanksgiving for all your gifts, we pray this in the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing praise is the hymn, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" The words will appear before you on the screen.
May you let my love be shown. Will you wonder such as this unseen. Will you live to what I mean in you and you in me? Will you love the you you hide it by but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you
live in hope, love with mercy. Leave no stone unturned in your calling as one of God's precious disciples. For as often as you heed the word of the Lord, you are turned toward what is good and what is beautiful. And may the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, bless you and keep you now and forevermore. Amen.